Hey, Faith family. Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast at Calvary Bible, where we go beyond the Sunday sermon to explore some rabbit holes and to bring some biblical truths to the surface. We hope you enjoy today's episode. All right, welcome back to another episode of the podcast.
Beyond Sunday.
Beyond Sunday.
We are beyond Sunday.
Yeah, we often are. 6 days of the week, depending on how you look at it.
It's true.
We're always beyond one Sunday, even on a next Sunday. We're beyond the prior Sunday.
And this isn't even a joke yet, is it?
No, this is just philosophical musings. Yeah.
Oh, my.
So Sunday, we were in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 42, right? And the title of the sermon was Making Sure Doubt Isn't Unbelief, right? Talking about signs, and you even mentioned Gideon. Here I comes
did.
The joke.
I did.
That was the cue for the joke. All so right. Gideon had his doubts about God's plan, but God still answered him in due time.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wordplay. Wordplays are good.
There you go. You guys are welcome to use that. We're going to go D-E-W this time.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, all my. Right. My.
All right. So, all right. You ready?
I guess.
You have to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So a few questions for us this week. Jesus, he's in another confrontation with the scribes and the Pharisees here. And he refers to their generation as an evil and adulterous generation. So you defined evil something like along the lines of socially and morally worthless.
Yeah.
So
does
that work?
Yep.
Okay.
You changed the order, but that's fine.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. We'll just blame the question.
You were
not
listening.
Me. I'm just the messenger here.
Oh, okay.
So where does the definition, where's that definition come from? And how do we recognize that potentially in our generation or our hearts?
So where does it come from?
Yeah.
All of these primary definitions are coming from, directly from a Greek lexicon. What we would consider to be a, you know, you just say a dictionary. So the primary Greek lexicon provides these options for meaning, and these are the primary definitions of these terms.
Okay.
That's where it comes from. So I'm not pulling that from a Webster's dictionary or something like that, although sometimes there's similarities between the, what's important is just to, is to get back to this more of the original language and just try to figure out what did it mean then. And so these resources are invaluable to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes me think of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or bad, and evil being the lack of good. It's not, it's like darkness. Darkness isn't really a thing you can make.
The absence of.
Right. And so here we have the absence of. It's a worthless absence of anything socially or morally good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do we recognize that then? Like if Jesus was speaking to our generation, would he call it that?
He would. You know, so the evil and adulterous generation in the first century is followed by subsequent generations bearing the same character traits, because by and large they all reject him, and that's really the key. That's the key to our study in Matthew, and especially like Beyond Sundays, and it's the reason for the title. By the way, you know, I don't usually do much with them or explain them much, but for me, these titles are critical because for the church, for us, it's important to make sure that we distance ourselves from or separate ourselves from blatant unbelief. And but we do have our doubts, and our faith sometimes struggles. But the generations from Jesus' day onward are those characterized by these terms because they are rejecting him and his power. So all of the generations after Jesus, people born around the same time share the same character traits of the Christ rejectors.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but let me get to the, you know, how do you recognize it? So go back to the two terms. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you see in society, for instance, that is destructive to life? Is the best way, I think, for me to describe it. You know, what do we see in the way in which people live, the way in which organizations function, the thinking patterns, those types of things? The destructive ones are the evil ones.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I said on Sunday, you may recall this if you were listening or were there, but our society still uses the word at times, but only for certain things, evil.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. It will use it still. I watch for these types of theological terms in reports, news reports, and so forth. So it's still used. And so you can still see a society thinking about morals.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're heading into an election, and it's fascinating to me that in a nation that really has no absolutes, it still talks about morality and justice. I mean, for instance, right now, former President Trump, his trial is constantly in the news.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a lot of talk about justice and morality in a world like ours that believes in no absolutes, which is that's a conundrum to me.
It is. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
I don't know how to take that, but.
All right. So next question. You mentioned doubt. Can you speak to the tension that we feel between sometimes doubt and faith, and the tension maybe is like, if God's given someone ears to hear,
mm-hmm.
well, then how can they doubt if he's opened their eyes and opened their ears?
Yeah, because you and I are, in this case, the three of us, we mm-hmm. are dealing with an old nature and a new nature working together. That's not correct. They operate within the same person, within the same soul. So that conflict between the spirit and the flesh is the reason for doubt creeping in at times, even though we've been made new. Mm-hmm. I forget the exact wording of that. I may have missed it a little bit.
I didn't read it word for word, but just the tension between doubt and faith, and if God gives someone ears to hear.
That one. Okay, so that's what I yes, we have ears to hear, thankfully, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean we only have ears to hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And so my battles every day, as the Lord knows, my battles are due to ears to hear two different voices, much like Genesis 3. Which one am I going to listen to?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So remember, I know you know this, so when I say remember, I'm not talking to you.
It's questionable.
I'm talking to us about, you know, that the conflict that we have with both a spirit and a flesh, like a Galatians 5 type language, the spirit against the flesh against the spirit, that tug of war that goes on in every soul is the reason why, even though we have ears to hear, there's still doubt at times.
Mm-hmm.
And we could quote, and I think we quoted on Sunday, right, that the man in Mark, that famous character in Mark's gospel, Lord, I believe, but help my finished that.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, you see it throughout the scriptures, examples of men who have faith. You know, you just let's go back to Abraham.
Yeah.
And yet there's times where he lived in unbelief.
Yeah.
Right.
And the ones that, and I've got this on my mind a little bit lately because of some of my readings in the prophets, but like these great prophets, like Elijah, mm-hmm. really struggled with his faith at some moments.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're right. I mean, what character didn't? I mean, Abraham,
yeah,
the father of all who believe, and he struggles with his faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God made it clear what he was going to do, but at times Abraham said, you know what, I'm going to have to take matters in my own hand because I don't know how else this is going to work.
Yeah.
His faith was low.
Yeah, it made me think too of Paul says in 1 Corinthians where we've got faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love,
yeah,
right? And that's the only one that continues on into heaven. So like we don't see God with perfect faith.
No.
Only Jesus had that,
yeah,
right? And so we've always got this element of imperfect faith,
yeah,
in our lives, and it comes out sometimes in doubt.
It does. And I think that's why for us, it is important that we recognize that doubt does exist. And you know, when we were talking about, well, you know, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you, verse 38.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to spend some time talking to the folks that have asked for one before.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we all at times feel like, God, could you just help me to be more sure? Michelle was saying to me earlier this morning, she said, it is interesting that a lot of what we were trying to get was clear direction, which is not the same as doubting Jesus. It's just, could you help me a little bit more? I want to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some doubt, but it's not doubting Jesus. It was doubting whether or not the direction I was headed was the right one.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was everybody, but
no,
that was a lot.
I know some people would say they asked God to show up. Like, God, are you out there?
Yeah.
Are you real?
Show
if
me.
If so, please reveal yourself. Show yourself.
Yeah.
Give me a sign.
Yeah. And they needed it.
Yeah.
And
God mercifully he does, answers.
Which I think is, again, the reason why we have to make sure that what we're dealing with today is just plain human, frail doubt versus blatant unbelief,
mm-hmm.
where we're rejecting Christ altogether and we're just saying, well, you got to prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's different from saying, Lord, and I'm going to use D.A. Carson's words again. I think he said, you know, this is a request from someone who's timid, a little
timid
bit
faith.
Timid. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, you did ask everybody raise of hands if they'd ask God for a sign. And I think you referred to the fact that you had done that too.
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't.
No.
I thought you said you did.
No.
I was going to ask you to share that story.
I don't have. I've never
done
that.
Perfect faith.
I have very imperfect faith, but I never said to God, would you please confirm? And that's just a matter of, I think some of that is just makeup, believing, again, using that term, believing that God was going to give clear guidance as mm-hmm. I moved and not second guessing. Whereas some people by nature, I think they just second guess themselves. I really need this to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please help me? And I joked on Sunday twice on purpose just to make fun of us, you know, the folks that raised their hand.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong? You know, what's wrong with you weak people? You know, mm-hmm. just because that's who we are. That's us.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, we are weak.
There's no shame in that.
Uh-uh.
Well,
I was going to say, so we've thought of at least two examples of people who are asking God for a sign. One is, God, I don't know if you're out there.
Yeah.
Please answer me.
Yeah.
Show yourself to me.
Yeah.
And then the other times, maybe a common example is, yeah, I've got a decision to make,
yeah.
or I don't know what's next.
Yeah.
Can you guide my path and show me?
Yeah, clearly. And if you talk to, and you've done this, if you talk to some of the people that have requested these things,
mm-hmm.
they set up specifics just like Gideon did. It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like two or three criteria that they have to meet.
Mm-hmm.
There's two or three criteria that the event or the circumstances must do or create in order for it to be a yes answer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting how gracious God is to us.
And so would you say that's wrong of us to ask God for a sign?
I don't think so. I think that's just, again, making sure that you're asking. You're asking because you're timid. You're not asking because you've ditched God altogether.
Yeah.
And you're just demanding something that's not sincere.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know that the Pharisees and the scribes, they're not really asking for evidence or proof because they're ready to believe.
Yeah. Verse 39 makes it clear, an evil and adulterous generation. That phrase is going to come up again. It'll come up again in our next section on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which is mm-hmm. interesting. It's
yep.
like, wow, there it is again. So there is a kind of a verbal link,
mm-hmm.
Even though there's not a direct link thematically to this section that we're dealing with today.
Yeah.
It'll be kind of interesting to pull that together.
Yeah, similar. Same audience too, likely.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. So our response of faith then, mm-hmm. right? The mm-hmm. Ninevites repented. The queen from the south came to hear Solomon. Mm-hmm.
Took it in. Took in the wisdom and
exactly.
believed the report.
Jesus comes out of the grave, right, three days later.
Yeah.
What's our response? Like, what's a a parallel response, because Jesus is getting after that for us.
I, you know, on Sunday, I looked down a lot at the communion elements.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, I believe this event, that this was a real event.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus lived as a real person.
Mm-hmm.
He died a real death, a real Roman death. I believe this event was the way it starts. I have to believe that there was a death, a burial, and a resurrection of the Son of God in order for me to experience life with God. So it's just kind of a basic sense of, I believe this story.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. This is reality for me.
Do you think Jesus is pointing to action here too? Because these people, there was like the gospel message of repent and believe. So like there's a belief and then there's also a change. You know, these, like I was looking at it again this morning and just seeing the Ninevites, they repented.
Yeah.
The queen from the south, she didn't just hear Solomon's wisdom and...
Yeah, okay, that's great.
Great.
Great I'm info.
Glad he's wise.
I'll go back to...
She went.
Yeah.
And there's action involved. So it's just like that.
You're right.
You know, as I'm listening to people's testimonies too, and like this baptism as we prepare for it.
Yeah.
And thinking about gospel, like how we... see evidence of the gospel, it's there's always like marks along the way, mile markers of what God is doing in their lives and how they're responding to his truth.
And I said to the next level cohort on Sunday night, this past Sunday, I said, it's always on Sunday, there's an emphasis on the gospel at the end, but there is implications from that belief. Because if I believe that the Son of God died, was buried, and rose again from the dead, that's I am identifying with him in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. That's Romans 6.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the practical issues of living the Christian life starts with a full identification by faith with the Son of God. That's the only reason to explain the fight that I'm in today or that you're in today when you're thinking about faith and doubt. That's what we are. So all of the implications, and what you could do is you could go virtually anywhere, and you could go anywhere in the New Testament. In the Gospels, what I said on Sunday night to the group was, you go back into Matthew's Gospel anywhere and just find the instructions that Jesus gives, because there's a lot of that in Matthew. So all of the teaching that Jesus is doing to create followers, that's the implications of believing in him. Go into the epistles, and now... after all the doctrinal sections in the epistles, now what do you have? You have the outworking of all of that, and you know that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what you're saying. It's it's belief, but it's also implications of, which is a transformed life, or a transformed life, that's accurate, but it's also accurate to say a being transformed life, which is what you and I are trying to do on Beyond Sunday. We're trying to continue to grow, which means we fight temptation, we fight against sin, we fall, we confess, we repent, we turn, we replace with righteousness, all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. It's implied. All right.
Strongly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else for us?
No.
All right. So next week, it's kind of the second half of this short little conversation with the Pharisees and the scribes that Matthew records.
It is.
Change of subjects.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. I'm gonna, in our reading, when we read publicly, there'll be like three snippets of readings all put together to make sense of this little section as far as what are the connections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like one, for instance, you're either gathering with me or you're scattering, one or the other, which is one of those, there's no neutral ground,
right?
Which we covered several weeks back.
Yep.
Or a few weeks ago.
Good. All right. Looking forward to that. Got baptisms on Sunday too.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah, I said to Jason, if you're going to be there on Sunday, just I'm looking forward to the first celebratory songs right after the baptisms are done, just so that as a faith family we can rejoice with God. It's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And what's better than, I mean, apart from communion, what's better than watching disciples in the making?
Yeah,
it's pretty special.
It
and
is
you'll
special.
Be in the tank, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm thinking we need to figure out a way to let them sing too. They're wet, but
yeah,
man, it's a good time for them to sing also.
Yeah, they should be.
Gotta
yeah.
figure that one
Have
out.
Have them dry off quickly.
Get one of those.
Actually, the others should be dried off. It's the last one in the tank that's gonna really scurry.
Yeah.
To All get right. to the first song.
Figure that one out, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Get one of those big air dryers
yeah.
that you see in the bathrooms. You just put your hands down in.
Yeah.
If we had one of those, you could walk through it.
Yeah.
Peel the water off of you. That'd be cool. All right. Good deal. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast. If you have any questions, you can email them into podcast@cbcmj.com. Cue the curious look.
Excellent.
And we'll see you next week. Thank you. We love you guys. Thanks again for joining us on today's episode. And remember, our Sunday sermons are meant to lead us to a life of worship beyond Sunday.